Hello, my friends. It's Andy and Hedy coming live from Yorba Linda, California for the Living Fearless Devotional.
A production of ResurrectMinistry.com, where we're harnessing the power of the internet to share the gospel throughout the world. A passion we have, both Andy and I, to bring whatever we can for people to bring. How I got tongue twisted? Bringing people to saving faith, but we don't bring people to anything.
No, God does.
Yeah. So that's where I got tongue tied. Oh. So suddenly I have to find a new way of saying that. We want to help people in their walk with Jesus. But what if they haven't walked with Jesus? We want to help people start to walk with Jesus. You know, sometimes I really get in my head and it all comes crashing down. But check out the website. We would love your feedback if you find the content useful, and if not, we'd love to hear that too.
Yes,
drop us a line, send us a comment, suggestions you may want to add, prayer requests. I've had literally almost a transformational relationship with somebody who wrote me an email asking for help, and she's just like rocked my world. Yeah, the conversation we had and listening to her struggles with her son and just having a heart to heart about that. And it was just amazing. So we love to hear from you. Drop us a line. And if this ministry blesses you in any way, you can click the donate now button.
And make sure you comment. Let us know what you think about the devotional or about our comments as we're speaking. Make sure and let us know what you might be adding to that conversation. That would be fantastic. Let us know if you have a prayer request, because towards the end of the show, we will be praying for all of you that have any prayer requests that we want to share out to the internets, to everybody out there. Make sure and check out our sponsors. LifeWise is one of those companies. We just got an order the other day again.
Oh,
it's
yay.
Been fantastic, and I hope they're doing well. I got a couple of really great emails that people said, yes, I love the dream, or they love the...
Dream's great.
Radiance, the restore. Yeah, just getting some really good feedback from people. So go to livelifewise.tv. You need to use that URL because that tells people that tells the company that you are being referred to by our show. Go to StreamYard and check out StreamYard if you have a show that you want to do, whether it is to talk about cooking or any other hobbies you might have, or you have your own devotional that you want to do. Go to StreamYard and use the web address that we have there called getstreamyardnow.com, and open your Bibles up to Hebrews 11:1-3. Hebrews 11:1-3. Hedy and I will be reading that a little bit later on. So make sure and do that. Let's just make sure. Oh, look at, we have Lisa Wood on. Iris.
Hi, everyone. And, how have you been doing, Iris? We missed you.
We'll get to some of these other comments after we read a little bit of the devotional. So we're reading from A.W. Tozier for the Christian Leader on March 5th. The title is Faith Must Be Demonstrated. For by faith, the elders obtained a good report, says Hebrews 11:2. The lesson that comes to us through the many dramatic illustrations of faith in Hebrews 11 brings us back to my earlier statement. Faith in God is to be demonstrated, not defined. Just as God's church demonstrates Christian love, this demonstration of godly, humble faith is God's ideal for his church. It is not enough for preachers in their pulpits to try to define love. The love that God has promised must be demonstrated in the lives of the believers in the pews. It must be practiced as well by the man who occupies the pulpit. We should put the matter of faith in that same category. God wants his people, including the ministers, to demonstrate all the outworking of faith in their daily lives and practices.
Lord, the pattern set forth in Hebrews 11 seems so unattainable. Strengthen me by your spirit to be able to demonstrate this type of unshakable faith. Amen.
Amen. Should we go straight to the scripture? Or do you have something you want to comment on the devotional first? I thought the scripture really kind of, it tied everything together.
Absolutely.
And I thought it was really good.
So for those of you who may not remember or didn't open your Bible, Hebrews 11 is the account of all of the prophets and all of the wonderful things that were accomplished by ordinary men living extraordinary lives through faith. And it's just a beautiful testimony of everything that was done by these men just by believing in what God had promised. And even if they didn't see the promise, they believed anyways. So now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which were not, By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. That's a little bit of a brain twister for me. And actually, I like the way Enduring Word says it, because this one sentence he says, just as our physical eyesight is the sense that gives us evidence of the material world, faith is that sense that gives us evidence of the invisible spiritual world. Mm-hmm. Very difficult to explain to a person what faith is.
Right.
And I also love the fact that he says, Tozier says, that it's something that we have to demonstrate and we have to work out in our daily lives. Mm. And actually, I just had a conversation with Zara Darda about that, that, you know, I keep telling her these, I just speaking these promises over her. And she's like, I'm tired of you saying that. It's not happening. And I was like, you have to have faith. You have to be patient. Mm. You know, they're just so used to instant gratification. If they don't see it right away, then they think it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. And that's what faith gives you, is faith to believe in the promises of God, however long it takes. You know, Sarah and Abraham waited decades for the child of the promise. And that's after they heard from an angel, you know, and yet they still went and had that
right.
unsanctioned child. You know, they like, wait, this is really a long time. Okay, let's get to it. Let's find another, let's find a workaround.
Unsanctioned.
Yeah, it just, and so you can imagine for everyday people that don't hear the voice of the Lord, holding on to God's promises are hard, but that's what faith's all about. The evidence of things not seen. Mm.
I do love the enduring word on this when it says that faith is a sense, like you were saying. Because it reminds me, so I'm going to have to use a dog analogy.
Oh, great.
Is that okay?
I actually haven't had that in a while.
And it is this, and hopefully I can explain this, I can feel it.
Yes.
And I'm thinking about it, but I'm not sure that I can articulate it.
Yes.
But I'm going to give it a shot. So I testify in court cases many times for scent detection dogs that find illegal narcotics. And like the Bible sitting right there, just because we're sitting near the Bible doesn't mean we're going to get faith.
Right.
That faith is going to be just like
floating in the air.
Or we go to church necessarily and there's a
floating in the air, but that doesn't mean we're going to catch it.
the wind may be blowing the wrong direction. And so when I'm testifying in court cases, what it seems to be to me is that the prosecuting attorney and even the handlers themselves think just because the narcotics is in the car, that the dog will smell it on the outside. That just because it's there, then the dog will find it. And what I have to do and come in there and say, no, there's other factors. One of the things that's a big factor is when I was a handler and an instructor, I taught everybody that I knew, everybody that I got asked to train, I taught them that the best way to have a vehicle is with the windows closed and the doors closed, because the pressure of the odor that's inside there builds up and then the odor comes out the little seams and cracks and crevices where the dog on the outside can smell it to indicate to it that it's present on the inside. That's the only way the dog can find it. I'm getting all these cases now where the windows are open, the doors are open, and that dogs are coming around. The dogs are doing nothing, but the handlers are saying, well,
looks like he alerted.
Looks like he licked his lips and wagged his tail. So that must be it. So what I'm saying is that what they've done is they've
made dogs, not magicians.
Yeah, they made it difficult. right? They've caused air, fresh air, to come in and dilute.
So in that case, could the handler instruct the driver he has to close his windows?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, so
yeah. You tell them before, hey, before you get out of the car, roll up your windows.
And then does he wait a couple minutes?
Yeah, you just have to wait like 10, 15 minutes if you can. Again, it's something that we teach actually the guys stopping the cars. So if it's not us stopping the car,
right,
that we tell as soon as you can, roll up those windows and get those doors shut. Get the guy out, talk to him, have him close the door, make sure the windows are rolled up while you're talking to him and running his license and all that kind of stuff. That gives it time to build up on the inside.
Yeah.
We've taught that for decades. I have no idea. So getting back to my analogy.
I think they're afraid of him getting out of the car and shooting them.
No, you get the guys out of the car. It's safer to have them out because you pat them down, you stand them there.
Yeah.
It's
but they don't, nobody does that anymore.
Sometimes they do.
Usually when they want to kill you, like you're getting lynched, if you're
right.
Black while driving, they tell you to get out of the car. But usually nobody tells you to get out of the car.
Right. So back to my analogy.
Okay.
So it's the odor is essentially invisible. They're molecules. I mean, if you had got some type of instrument, you could probably see them, but you know, to us they're invisible. Okay. And so just because there is something there does not mean that you're going to get, it's going to hit you in the face. There's things you have to do. There's things that if you do them right, the dog will find it. As Christians, if we do what it is that our due diligence and we do our job of reading the Bible, being in the Word, paying attention to the pastor who's giving the message and following up with those, you know, maybe some research or going to Enduring Word and that kind of stuff, then that's where faith really begins to set in because you're active and you are searching for God's Word. And that's going to be the things like what the handler needs to do to make sure to have the best success possible. There's things he has to do. There's things as Christians that we need to do in order Absolutely. To make sure that we get in faith, and the sense of faith begins to work, and you locate it and you find it and you make it a part of your life.
Well done. Well said.
We got a little distracted by the guy in and out of the vehicle, but
yes, an important.
Yes, thing. I love it that he made it a sense. Faith is a sense.
Yes,
it's amazing. I never thought of it like that.
It's a sense you've got to have. I like it also thinking of it as an organ. The other guy said it is an organ, like a muscle.
Yeah,
you got to work it.
Yeah,
it's got to be built. And as I am struck by the sower, the parable of the sower, so much it just runs through my head all day. Just thinking about how the seed is sown on the side of the road with no soil, gets you know, burnt. It never grows, or it grows among the thorns. It gets choked out by the cares of this world, or gets planted on good soil, and that's how faith is. That's how the word gets in our lives, is that you get really excited. They're happy about it, but you know, it gets burnt up. It doesn't get planted into good soil.
Hmm.
And so it's so important that we have a part to play. We're not just vessels of flesh and spirit. We actually have responsibility to nurture faith.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Hope that made sense. I'm having a little bit of brain fog right now.
Because your Hello Kitty hat?
I don't know. I don't know what the Hello Kitty hat, or it's this flu I'm fighting off.
I like what Lisa says here about Barry Maguire.
Barry Maguire says, you guys can bring everybody who listens and watches a little closer to Jesus. And for people who are already believers, you comfort and strengthen them. Yeah. That is beautiful. Thank you, Lisa. Hi, Cindy. Cindy has a whole new population of churchgoers.
Really?
Spanish speakers.
Wow.
Yes, we're going to be praying for Cindy and her new congregation members.
Hola, cool, ¿cómo está usted? Bien, ¿y
That's
tú?
The extent of Andy's Spanish.
I know taco, enchilada,
Hi, tostada, Kate.
Churro,
She finds Super Tuesday pretty exciting.
Yes, it's been really good today.
Kyle and the CV. Nice to hear from you. Long time no see. We are fantastic.
Kyle V in the CV.
Yes. Lisa says, I heard a brilliant scientist testimony describe her faith journey, finding and walking with Jesus. Not everything that matters can be counted, and not everything that can be countered matters.
Yeah. Yes.
Well said.
Yes.
God's word is a power that creates what is seen from things that are not visible. Amen. So, Kate.
Yeah, I like that too. Just back to the power of the dog's nose is it's a superpower.
Yeah, so but if it's such a superpower, why does it not work if the window's open?
Because they want to think just because it's, again, just because they're, then the dogs will smell. Because of wind currents, especially on a vehicle that's stopped on the side of a freeway, trucks are driving by and wind comes off of those trucks. You've ever been on the side of the road with a flat tire and it rocks the vehicle? You've never been on the side of the road with a flat tire?
I don't drive cars that get flats.
Even back in the 70s or 80s, you don't remember ever. So anyway, those of us that have gotten flats on the back.
Actually, it's been a fear of my entire life, but it's never had it.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, anyway, well, I pulled over a lot of cars on the side of the freeway. And when a truck and a car go by, it rocks. It's like hurricane winds. Yes. And so that wind on an open window shoves fresh air into the compartment of the vehicle,
okay,
diluting. So if there's like 2 grams of methamphetamine in there,
yeah,
the odor coming off of that is a little bit of odor coming out of there, and you got a tidal wave.
So then how
of air flushing away that little bit of odor that was built
so
up.
We only see the cases of the guys who did this arbitrarily and actually found stuff. Because there's probably thousands that don't find stuff, right? Yes.
Well, listen, we're only pulling over cars that we have a high probability of narcotics in. You get really good at that.
What is a high probability? Like, what does a car look like?
Like when your mom's driving down the road, I'm not going to pull over thinking I'm going to find narcotics. Your 80-year-old mom.
So is it the age of the person?
It's where they're coming from. It's the type of vehicle they're driving.
Where they're coming from?
Because we follow them. We know where they're coming from. Like if they're on the I-10, and it's a certain, listen, we profile, whether they want to admit that or not, you know about profiling.
Sure.
You profile and you know who it is. Rental cars with people rental that look like tweaker. Yeah. Rental cars going down. Yes. They get pulled over all the time. There's vehicles that we just know that we can see the people. The other thing that we pull over quite often are people that are being targeted and tailed. We follow them out of a neighborhood.
What do you mean? Somebody else is tailing them?
Yeah.
What?
Like crime task force or major narcotics detective investigators.
And so why would you bother if somebody else has already got it?
Because they say this guy, we've been watching this guy. He was in the neighborhood where we know they're selling narcotics and he's leaving. Can you pull him over?
Oh, they want you to pull him over.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
They're in a plain car and in plain clothes.
Oh, so they don't want to be detected. So they're like,
we need you to pull over that car and then run your dog around it, get an alert. Once the dog alerts, we'll go in and find the drugs and arrest the guy.
You faked alerts?
Me? No. Not ever.
You didn't need to.
If a dog didn't alert, then we just let him go. That's how it's supposed to work. You don't pretend your dog alerted and then go, hey,
let's
go.
We see it every day.
We see it all the time. But you're not pulling over just, you know, the average man coming home from the office.
I mean, based on the number of cases that we have, do you think we should pull canines from the field?
No, there's hundreds and thousands of searches done every day.
That are good. Okay.
And there's dogs that search and they don't indicate, and so they let them go. I mean, I had that all the time. I knew a guy was dirty and the dog didn't, for whatever reason, because maybe the windows were broken or maybe because... there's a whole number of reasons why a dog won't find odor.
What if you put it in a safe?
No, the dog smells through it.
Really?
Yeah.
Is there anything a dog can't smell through?
Yeah, but I'm not going to tell them on the internet how to mask. There is ways of masking it, but usually they're not.
Wrap it in a dirty sock.
Here, I'll tell you one thing that does happen. They will take, have you seen these packages that have duct tape all around them and then yes. plastic bag and then another round of duct tape and that kind of stuff? The problem is they touch the original stuff that's on the inside. And now their hands have the cocaine or the methamphetamine or the fentanyl on their hands.
Doofus.
And they're taking the tape now with the hands that they touch the narcotics with. And oh, look, we're sealing this up. And it's getting on the tape that's on the outside of the thing.
That's hysterical.
But
as my dad says, if they were smart, they wouldn't be criminals.
So I would say on an average, a police officer, they're pulling over. Like I only pulled over cars that I thought they were guilty of something. I didn't make regular car stops very often. Okay. Unless they were like,
are you supposed to?
Yeah. I mean, they want you to see you write a ticket, you know, every so often. Oh. I got pulled into the captain's office a few times. I said, Andy, you haven't written a traffic ticket in 3 months. I know, but I've taken 15 people to jail on the car stops. Okay. I know, but you need to write at least a 4000A is like a out of date registration or something like that, or no front plate, or brake lights not working, or, you know.
Because you're supposed to find occasional criminals that way?
No, they just, it's revenue for the city.
Oh.
If every cop pulls over We're 10 or 15
so
people.
Off topic right now.
If every cop pulls over 10 or 15, if you have 500 cops on duty throughout, you know, a week.
Thank God each one of them, said it's interesting because I was a little worried.
If each cop pulled over 10 to 15 people like a day,
that's
a lot of revenue. Bucks. Yes. Yeah. And I was not interested in that. I let a lot, I pulled cars over. I just didn't give them tickets.
Interesting doggy combo, we had one client today who was very type A. She wanted exact dates. She's like, okay, so if I talk to him on the 15th, when will I have the report? I need to know, like, is it 7 days? Is it 14 days? And I said, I can't answer that. And she's like, well, I just need to understand when. And I said, okay, listen, there's this process Andy goes through. I said, I can go over to him and be like, hey, can I have so-and-so's report? And he'll say to me, I'm thinking. Don't push me. I'm thinking. And so I said, some of them are a slam dunk. He could put out a report about what he saw in like a couple of paragraphs, bada bing, bada boom. And I said, and other ones, it takes time. He sits and he mulls it over and then he comes back and he's like, I just can't think of the words. And so she's like, so you can't tell me? And I said, listen, all I can tell you, there's a very unique relationships Andy
rush,
has with each
of
these.
The process.
Don't rush the process. So just wait till you talk to him and he tells you, whoa, you got a complicated case. And if he says something like that to you, then just know your report's going to take at least a month. So this whole doggy business is complicated.
So do you understand how...
I don't know how whatsoever it is connected to faith at all, but...
But you understand how they can pull over a vehicle and there actually be narcotics, but the dog not indicate.
No, unless they knew how to hide it.
No. I'm just saying, you know how that happens often with cops because we pull over cars that are very likely to have narcotics. In. So that happens a lot.
Repeat this phrase you said happens a lot.
Where they run the dog around.
And it does
they
not
claim
indicate.
The dog indicate, but the dog only indicates by doing one thing, and that is sitting. The dog will sniff and then sit on his own without any influence from the handler. And that tells us whether there's narcotics in it. And if a dog doesn't do that, there's no indication. Right. But we get cases where the dog walks around, does nothing, and they say, my dog
indicated.
But we have a video that shows the dog didn't do that. And so what I'm asking you is that, but then they go in and they do find narcotics. You understand what I'm saying?
Why?
Is because we only pull over cars that have a very high probability of having narcotics in them anyway. Right. Because it's not just pulling them over. Once you pull them over and you go up and talk to them, then they look and they say, oh.
And he's shaking.
Yeah, he's like. Mm. he's got a syringe hanging out of his neck. And they go, maybe we should bring the dog by.
Bring the dog.
Because, you know, you walk up and you go, oh, this guy's a tweaker. He's got the teeth that are like this and they're yellow and they're, you know, they're falling out. Those are those. Then they go, hey, we need a canine over. And they call the canine over. So that's how that happens. That's why it happens a lot. Thank you, Kate. See, Kate understands.
Kate, you know, his stories are so long. I can't follow. After a couple of minutes, I kind of lose consciousness.
Right.
I don't know where we started.
Okay, thank you. Yes. So thank very you, clear Dave. Explanation, Andy. It's good illustrations of faith. It's unseen, but it exists.
Amen.
I just learned, I was shocked to learn the other day that you told me that you don't listen to any of my stories. And you never have. That's what you said. I never listened. I just wanted to let you know, I've never listened to any of your stories. That's what she said.
I was misspeaking. That's not true. What do you mean? How could I not have listened to any of them?
Okay, what sport was I ranked number two in the state of California?
Pole vaulting.
You remember
that's
that.
That's only because I've heard it so many times. Every time we drive by a building, somehow the pole vaulting story comes back up.
No.
No, here's the rule. I hear the first 5 minutes of any story. Past that, I don't have.
Oh, did you read my report on the search of the outside of a building?
Yes.
What did you think of that report?
I thought it was fine. I didn't realize buildings were so distinctive.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and that's the story I was trying to tell Roxana, our friend. I was just like, see, like there's a situation that makes this case distinct from any other or different than the ones he's doing every single week. And so he has to think about it, and that may take longer.
Yeah.
Is it a building? Is it a package? Was the window open? Was the door open? Did the guy get out of the car in the middle of the search and then, you know, change the whole air? And I tell everybody the one story, which I found was the most hysterical, was the white lab that literally looked like he borrowed the dog from the neighbor. It didn't look like a working dog at all. It looked like he just took Sandy from next door and said, come on, I gotta go to work today.
My dog's sick. Can I borrow your dog?
The dog was like, just running around like over, like never worked a day in his life. This dog had not worked a day in his life. I could tell you for a fact. I could get on the set and be like, that is not a working dog. Oh, boy.
And yet there were narcotics in the car.
Yeah.
And see, that's the problem, is that they could do this over and over again. That the problem is, my thing that I talk about, that the reason I look at these cases is I think about all the times that they did that to somebody that's never used drugs in their lives and never had
and
drugs.
And we have one of those cases.
We have a bunch of those cases. I mean, in the past, I've had a bunch of those cases.
No, we that's have a the high problem. Profile one that he's suing the city for being stopped.
And I asked the judge and the prosecutor, I said, what if your daughter or son, if you have one, was pulled over and they ran the dog around, the dog did nothing, and they searched the vehicle? Would you not have a problem with that? That's the thing that I'm concerned about.
Integrity.
This case, we're only seeing it because there was narcotics inside. But how many vehicles did this dog sniff, supposedly sniff, and there was nothing, and they just let him go? We don't hear about those. Those we never hear about. So we could take 15 of those to get to the one that has narcotics in it. We won't hear about the other 15. That's
the
problem.
What about the poor people who can't get an attorney?
Yeah. Oh, I got people sitting in jail right now from nonsense searches.
Yeah.
I had a video once where the guy, and he's got a microphone on, and he's walking around the car, and he says, sit. And the dog sits, and he says, alert. And I go, what? And you know, the judge says, you know what? I'm going to let that go. The dog probably would have sit anyway. I go, but he's on the video and the audio saying sit to his dog. How can you let? And they let it go anyway. That's how hard it is for the city. So have we had enough of this discussion?
You don't seem to have. I don't know how our audience feels about it. I know they're going to yell at us that your mic is too hot because you've been screaming.
Am I screaming?
Yes.
I try to back off when I'm screaming.
Yeah, I don't know if that's worked.
But
though.
Faith.
Evidence
faith.
Of things not seen.
Things not seen. Oh my gosh. Have I told you how much I love doing these devotionals with you?
No.
I love doing these devotionals.
Why do I have to always drag you to them then?
No, you don't. You're big.
I have to beg him to do them.
You're like, kidding me.
He's like, no, not today. Maybe tomorrow.
So untrue.
Okay, maybe.
No, I love
you love that you get to talk about yourself.
No. No, I love what I learned today, that faith is a sense. I mean, it really, for me, that made this whole devotional, in addition to all of our people, like, that are watching. I love them. Just like, wow, because I never looked at it like that.
Oh, really?
I felt that it was just something that you had to conjure up. You almost had to conjure up faith. You see?
That's why I always felt like hocus pocus for you.
Back in the early days.
Yeah.
And now, and I was been wondering, like, why, how is this? I mean, how did this happen?
Right.
How did my faith become something so real when before I felt that I was just trying to conjure it up every
day? So do you think you always had the sense, or it's like God flips a switch? He gives you the sense. You suddenly get the sense.
It's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, I think, for me, that really was the difference for me.
But
the,
I gotta tell
understanding
you,
that
I'm having this fascinating experience watching, because I'm watching my daughter, right, as she's tiptoeing around faith and listening to your stories. I feel like that there's, because I had a very different experience. I came and I drank the Kool-Aid. I took the whole jug and I was just like done. So, but people watching that, the dance of faith, I like to call it, I see that there's this, I could see what you could have been going through is that maybe it was this, the flesh was overpowering mm-hmm. the sense. Because I see it with my daughter too. It's like the sense is there. It's fragile. It's light. But the cares of the world, the desires, the temptations basically stamp it out. Every time it tries to blossom, it gets stamped out. So not that it's not there, but that it doesn't, it just doesn't flourish because it gets stamped out by wickedness.
Well, again, if I just, I'm not going to go through a whole story, but the scenario that I discussed is that you have to set up for success. And that's a doing. Is it a verb?
What, doing?
Doing, right?
Yeah.
It's a verb.
Yeah.
You have to be doing something. You can't just think that it's going to happen. And that's what I think is the biggest thing, was that, you know, starting to read the devotional, going to church on a regular basis.
You were doing that.
Yeah, but I wasn't, now.
You were going to church.
I wasn't doing it for my faith. I wasn't doing it to help my sense. I wasn't setting up for success. I was doing it for who knows why.
but that's what I'm saying. Are you sure it wasn't because you did have the sense, but it was getting quashed?
I wanted to be at church because I thought it would fix my marriage. I wanted to go to church because I thought that it would show me in a better light. I went to church because I knew it was the right thing to do.
So it wasn't a faith thing.
And it was out of guilt of the things that I was doing when I wasn't at church. So it was a whole bunch of other things.
Yeah.
But it wasn't to gain faith. I wasn't closing the windows and the doors so that I could have a better chance of smelling the faith, of sensing the faith. I wasn't doing those things. Those things are necessary. You have to set up your search for success.
Right. Well, you got that full circle. Genius. Absolutely genius.
And it means discarding things. It means closing out.
Closing the windows of the doors, man. Stop smoking it.
To the shenanigans.
To the shenanigans.
Close the doors and windows to the shenanigans. That rush of wind that grabs you and takes you back into the bar.
So true. So true.
Yeah. Wow. But I love that. I don't know what you're saying.
And I got to tell you.
I love this.
And I got to tell you, though, when we were talking to Pastor Bob and Becky, we had the good fortune of going to dinner with them the other night. And I was like, I was explaining why kids leave and go, Christian kids go to Islam. And it happened for me in the reverse, because I had the discipline of Islam. What Jesus asked of me was easy, easier. You know what I mean? It was like, whoa, this is much, much easier. But I had discipline. And the hardest thing I think about walking the Christian walk is that there seems to be so much leniency. Mm. And people are often falling off the tracks because of grace. You know, they feel like grace abounds and my sins are forgiven. And so I'll just get back up again and I'll take a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And then it quashes that light of faith. And then it comes back again in times of trouble. And then it goes out again. Like there's just this never ending cycle of back and forth. Yeah. That's unfortunate.
Yes.
But I guess that's part of what makes it personal too. Mm.
For sure.
Kate has some great wifely advice here. Hedia, listen to his stories because faith, hope, and love. Have faith to listen and believe he has a point to his stories. Hope he'll get there quickly. Love him by not saying you're not listening. Thank you, Kate. Faith is not a feeling. It's believing God's promises in spite of no evidence. Mm. Amen.
Yeah.
Lisa says, it's a spirit of the age. Yes, evil spirit of the age.
Yeah. I didn't see any prayer requests, but I think you wrote one down. No?
Cindy's Latino church.
Giving her...
we're going to Duolingo. Give her download tongues.
Yeah.
Everyone says that, you know, yes. Tongues are not just the heavenly language. They could be earthly languages like they did in Acts.
Or she hits her head and then suddenly speaks Spanish. Have you heard of those people?
I did just say that it was faith. She doesn't have to get her head knocked in.
You ever heard of that, though?
People, yes.
They hit their head and they suddenly speak French.
Because they jolted something loose.
Yeah, but they've never, even take a class in that particular subject, and yet they can speak it. Do you think that happens? I think that's true.
This is going to get into a whole nother discussion. But if you believe that our brains, if we're using only 1/100th of our brain or whatever that number is, then we are created in the image of God. Our intellect, our mind, should be no different than the rest of us if we're made in God's image. So the entire knowledge of the world should be contained in our brains. We just don't have access to it. So that's...
You just blew my mind.
Right? Isn't that true? Think about it. We can pray for Cindy to download Spanish.
Yeah.
Because God can download Spanish. I mean, how do missionaries for centuries communicate with a local population without speaking the language?
True.
Yeah.
I'd make car stops on Chinese people and somehow I'd get through the car stop. I'd get them the ticket and get them to sign it and they didn't speak a word of English.
There you go. We got some prayer
ways of doing it.
The prodigals and for Kate's writing. Okay, let's do it. Dear Lord, thank you for this opportunity to spend with your sons and daughters. Thank you for the laughter and the knowledge and all of the great things we learn about canines. Scent detection and the analogy to faith, Lord, the trust in things that you have promised us, all the promises that you have promised us in your word, Lord, and the promises that we've received personally from you, Lord, may we hold on to each and every one of those and treasure them, and may our faith grow thereby. And we want to, in particular, bless all of our children, Lisa's prodigals, our own prodigals, our friends, our loved ones, everyone out there who is far from you, Lord. They want them to just have saving faith in Christ Jesus, to walk with you, to hear your voice, to live righteously, to pursue holiness, Lord, not just to buy fire insurance, but to truly walk with you and to learn the discipline of what it means to be a soldier in the army of Christ. Lord, we ask that you bless Kate and her writing and that it speaks to the hearts of caregivers and parents and everyone who needs to hear her message on how to keep children safe. It's such an important topic right now, Lord, as our world is progressively more upside down and kids are the victim, who seems to be the victim and the target of wickedness these days, Lord. So we ask that you use her to keep them safe and her writing be a source of education and wisdom for people that are involved in this field. We ask that you bless Cindy and that you download Spanish for her, Lord, that you give her the ability to communicate the gospel message, the truth of the simple gospel, Lord, to her congregation and to her new Latina and Latino congregation. And bless my dear friend who's in a hospital room right now, Lord, recovering from treatment from very, very difficult surgery, Lord. Bless her and protect her. Send your ministering angels to minister to her heart, to bring her peace, to calm her anxious spirit, Lord, and to give her your spirit and your spirit of joy and of love and of peace, Lord. Thank you for all that you're doing and through us. We love you. It's in the mighty name of Jesus that we pray.
Amen. Amen. Hello, Kevin. Nice to see you.
Hey, Kevin.
I'm going to be in his backyard.
Yes, tomorrow.
Tomorrow morning. I will be there. Well, no, I won't be there tomorrow morning. I'm flying out tomorrow morning. Yes. I'll be there in the evening.
In the evening.
All right, my friends. We love you guys. Then, Kevin, maybe I'll see you there.
Yeah.
All right, my friends. We'll see you later. God bless.
God bless. Good night.
Good night.